The secret to well-being is discovering the power that is your birthright, the power to create a happier, healthier life, drawn from our own vast internal resources. Join Jules and her guests as they gently guide you to shift your perspective from the familiar negative to the divinely connected, a place that will not only positively impact your world, but possibly shift the planet. It's all right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. And it's beginning to get a little cooler here, and I've got to tell you, I am loving it. Tonight we're talking with Australia's number one best-selling author and frequent guest on Law of Attraction Talk Radio, Mr. William Whitecloud. He just got back from an extensive tour, and needless to say, I am so thrilled that he had the time to come on and talk to me. So tonight we are going to be talking about the Law of Attraction and current events. How to get the results about creating a wonderful future for you and yours, regardless of what is happening anywhere else in the world. There's one thing I want to make sure you understand before turning off the show tonight, and that is that you are the creator of your life. You are the master of your destiny. Only you can think your thoughts, and the power lies within you. No one can control your thoughts, only you can. And this is exactly what William and I will be talking about tonight. So I want you to sit back, relax, kick up those feet, and get ready to be inspired right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio. We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Jules of Law of Attraction Talk Radio and CEO of Law of Attraction Radio Network. On previous shows, I have talked to my listeners about the importance of decalcifying the pineal gland that affects our ability to create. Now there is an easy way to assist the pineal gland to heal through high-frequency music. And I want everybody to know about CodeDimensions.com, where they can purchase the beautiful harmonic nature soundscapes that will rejuvenate the pineal gland. Visit CodeDimensions.com and check out the different frequencies, and especially the Jewel of the Mind 936 Hertz frequency for the pineal gland. Start today and you will be thrilled with the results as I have been. I absolutely endorse this product. Go to CodeDimensions.com today.
Hi, I'm Sue Elliott, Editor-in-Chief of Law of Attraction Magazine. I would love to introduce you to the magazine so you can manifest the life of your dreams. You'll find powerful wisdom, insights, and easy techniques inside every issue of Law of Attraction Magazine. And it's available right now, digitally and on most newsstands. Visit lawofattractionmag.com to purchase your online copy today. That's lawofattractionmag.com.
Law of Attraction Magazine is not associated with Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome back. I just want to remind you that if you have an iPhone or a Droid or a smartphone that goes by all these other names that I don't know, go to iTunes App Store or Google Play and get your free app there to listen to all of the great shows on Law of Attraction Radio Network 24 hours a day. Just put Law of Attraction Radio Network into the search window and our beautiful new app will pop right up. I'm so pleased to say that every one of our hosts is what you would call an expert in the field of Law of Attraction. Our hosts travel the world giving workshops, they do TV appearances, radio appearances, and quite a few of them are even best-selling authors. Every show packs a powerful, inspirational message to keep you tuned into that higher vibration in which to create from. Now, we wouldn't be here if it weren't for you. That's right, you, the one that is listening to me right now. You are so important to us, and we want you to know that we are one with you, and you're one with us. Each show that you hear is exactly what you're supposed to hear at the precise time that you hear it. So keep tuning in to this internet radio station that loves you. and get those messages that you're supposed to hear. And don't forget to mention Law of Attraction Radio Network to your friends and family and let them get their messages as well. And here's a little message that I want to give you. Just for this moment, take a second and feel that all of life's good awaits you and is just right around the corner. This is a short journey that you can make. Just put one foot in front of the other. Even if you're feeling a bit frustrated or discouraged, that is okay. And as a matter of fact, it's even understandable. Just give yourself the permission to keep moving forward, and you will see the results to your determination. It's all good. Just feel it and believe it. You're almost there. Life's good is coming to you. Now let's get on with talking to our wonderful friend, Mr. William Whitecloud. William was Australia's number one best-selling author, but he is now an international best-selling author with the best Law of Attraction book that I have ever read, and it's called The Magician's Way. He is a world traveler, facilitating workshops in Africa, London, the U.S., Canada, and of course Australia. His second book, called The Last Shaman, actually reveals his young life living in Africa, and its teaching is about the powerful magic of the mind. William Whitecloud has got it all down. He's brilliant, he's funny, and he knows what he's talking about. Who else could I bring onto the show tonight to actually talk on how to approach our current affairs in our daily life using the Law of Attraction? That's why I'm so thrilled to bring William back on. Welcome, William Whitecloud, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. It's good to talk to you again.
Hi, Jules. It's good to be back in Santa Monica and talking to you here on Law of Attraction Radio. Thrilled to be here.
Oh, I'm thrilled to have you. Now, from what I'm hearing, you just got back a few days ago from Africa and Australia and all over, right? You were doing workshops?
Yep, I have been doing workshops in Africa and Australia and London, all over the place. Very busy at the moment.
And what are the workshops on?
Well, most probably very close to your heart and everyone listening's heart. Creating what matters to us in life using the Law of Attraction, really, I would say, is what it's about.
Oh my goodness, that's our favorite subject, the Law of Attraction and how to create something better for all of us. So that brings up what I wanted to talk about tonight. Right now, there is a lot of stuff going on in the mainstream media and alternative news, and it's a bit chaotic. So I wanted to ask you tonight, especially because you believe in the magic of the mind, how can we create something better regardless of what is really happening?
Well, you know, it's very interesting, Jules, because originally, I used to be involved in the financial markets. That was my business. I was a commodity trader and a financial markets operator a long time ago. And it's something that I was heavily involved in and had a real, I would say, profound understanding of and insight to through my activities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing is that What always struck me about the markets and news on the world economic financial situation and financial trends and political trends and all that was that the thing that really struck me and has had a profound effect on me and left an indelible mark on me really was the realization of how out of touch actually the mass thinking is and the ability of the mass media and mass consciousness even to predict any kind of direction and outcomes, that usually the majority of people are wrong.
Oh.
And you know, so I've never been one to concern myself with any kind of hysteria that is coming out of, you know, the mass media or mass thinking. And so I think that's the first thing that for myself keeps me sane is really the knowledge. And I know that whatever, you see, just now, I mean, it's a very contentious issue, but you have to admit that there was a massive hysteria about global warming.
Oh, yeah.
and what we had to do about it. And now it's not as though they're saying that there isn't global warming, but their predictions are being massively downgraded, and the seriousness of it turns out has actually been very overinflated and overhyped. And while it is an issue and is of a concern, it's been highly dramatized for reasons that we can only speculate. I mean, I suppose just for the sheer predilection we have to sensationalism, and you know, also it's just the way people are when they want to get their point across. They collude and enroll and dramatize. And now that we see this issue of global warming, we were very much frightened into and alarmed into seeing having a much more dramatic understanding of the situation than really is the case. But I see this over and over again in every you know, area, is this over dramatization negative predictions that very rarely get borne out, and so I'm not inclined to buy into it, and I think that's the first thing that we can all do is to be sane and keep ourselves focused and on a focused path in our lives, is not buy in to the drama in any regard, in any way, in terms of anywhere that it's coming from.
So you're saying that we really shouldn't focus in on what everybody is hyping up, but at what point should we be aware of situations so that we can create something different?
Well, I think the important thing is that, you know, I mean, at this stage, anyone could argue and say, well, William, you have to be cognizant of certain facts. You have to be aware of current realities, because without, you know, being aware of the facts, then you can't prepare yourself. You can't orientate in life and be prepared for, you know, whatever it is that you need to be prepared for. But the thing is what I say is that the thing that you have to be really most focused on is actually more important than anything else, is what matters to you, what you really care about. What's important to you, your values, and what you would love to create in life, and that's the most important thing to be focused on. And then, when you have that focus, I think then you will naturally be informed about reality as it applies to you and what you want to create. And so it's a different way of approaching things than being aware of all the factors that are available to be aware of, and then from there trying to plot your path accordingly. You know, I mean, that's overanalyzing and overthinking, and going to tend to become subject to information and data that isn't actually really relevant or accurate or anything like that. So it's just, for me, and I have a lot of experience in living this way and supporting others in living this way, is that really, as I said, you know, the most important thing is to just be conscious of what it is that you would love to create and be getting on with that, and then you will appropriately come to be aware of conditions and circumstances and realities that you need to take into account in terms of what you're creating.
So we should just continue on and create, and whatever's going to come up, we can take notice of it at that time. I'm still at that place where if they're saying you're going to have a major drought, should you stock up on water or should you not?
Well, it depends on what your situation is, on whether you're a rancher or a farmer. Maybe in your case, you should be. But, you know, I'm just going back to the dramatization that we can be subject to. I don't know if you remember Y2K, the
right.
year 2000,
right.
and everything was supposed to fail.
Right.
The world was going to come to an end. And, I mean, the whole world was enrolled in that huge organization, governments. I remember I was consulting to banks and financial institutions at that time. And at the end of the last century, and, you know, banks and institutions had no budget for anything because all of their budget was going into preparing for Y2K, something that never eventuated.
Mm. Right.
You see, and so, you know.
In other words, you're saying that we wasted a lot of energy worrying about something that never happened.
Worrying about something that never happened. And we can also spend a lot of time and energy worrying about things that are not going to happen or that are not relevant to what we're going to create. I mean, you know, even if the economy is going to be bad, and I travel around the world, Jules, and I see economies that are in much worse shape than America is in, much, much worse shape. And yet, within that, there are still people that thrive within those economies and create what they want and you know, live the lives they want and are inventive and are creative. And you see, so the issue isn't whether, to me anyway, the issue isn't what are the circumstances and what are the conditions, because really. We can buy into that and be subject to it if we want to, or we can be outside of that and above that if we so choose. And so it's just, well, you know, do we want to buy into the mainstream circumstance and condition and outlook and you know limit ourselves by buying into that and giving ourselves the subconscious message that whatever the fate of the mass is going to be our fate. And in other words, if we go, well, the economy is shrinking, the dollar's going down the tubes, it's all doom and gloom, we can give ourselves that message and then cause ourselves to see life from that perspective and in that way and through a limited lens. Mm-hmm. Or we can choose not to be subject to that limited lens and choose to create whatever it is that we would love to create and be focused on that. And when we're focused on that, well, then our subconscious mind that creates our realities for us will then be focused on that abundance, and we'll find avenues, we'll make connections, we'll see possibilities associated with the infinite perspective that we choose to be aligned with. I mean, it's just our choice whether we're going to buy into a limited worldview or an infinite worldview. And buying into the mass media and the hype about global warming and about Y2K and nuclear meltdown, whatever it is that we're being sold at any time, if we want to buy into that, well, we will become subject to that.
Interesting. You said something that really hit home with me. If we look at the Middle East wars, if we look at the banks and people talk about the corruption and the collapse of the U.S. dollar, everything really that is wrong with our current day-to-day situation worldwide is because of our belief in money. But you said you've seen other people in other parts of the world thrive when they don't really have money. So our belief in that powerful thing we know as money really is, we're focusing in on perhaps the wrong thing.
Well, you see, I didn't say that people overseas in other situations don't have money. They do. I mean, there's different classes of people. What I'm saying is that in my experience, in my travels, what I know is that whether it's in agriculture or in the arts or industry or mining, trade, commerce, filmmaking, whatever it is, there's always a class of people who are thriving, who have the ability somehow to do what they love to do, create what they love to create, and through that thriving, including financially and economically, and have money. And, you know, the difference between them and everybody else, though, is that they're just getting on. They are finding ways within a circumstance that everyone else has become resigned to and has accepted and said, well, you know, the economy is really bad, so therefore I can't get a job, I can't do well, I'm limited, the government can't help me, I'm not getting help. And so there's that class of people who are subject to that reality and that limitation. And yet then there are those who are not focused on that and are not concerned about that and are not waiting for the conditions to improve. You see, the thing is, Jules, is that the most fundamental thing that we're subject to, really, in terms of, I believe, as a limitation, is the idea of what our beliefs really amount to. When we talk about beliefs and limited beliefs, is the idea of the conditions that have to exist for us to create what we love, for us to be able to you know, just create anyway, and then also to create what matters to us and what we love. And people are always focused on the conditions they believe need to exist and how those conditions don't exist or are eroding. I mean, we're constantly enrolling each other in how the conditions aren't right for, and it doesn't matter what time in history it is, people are always enrolling each other in how the conditions aren't right for us to thrive and to create what we like and what we want. And the difference between the masses of people and people who are going to create and what they love, but also make a difference and uplift society, are people that aren't subject to the ideas of conditions that have to exist. They go, well, okay, well, so what? These are the conditions, but what is it that I want? And let me get on in creating what matters to me. So you will always see, even in conditions and societies, with, as I said, the situation is much worse than it is here in the United States, you will see getting ahead, thriving, making do, doing well in whatever their field is, employing other people, and getting ahead, basically, and defying the current circumstances and the current conditions. They're always people that defy and get ahead of the current conditions and circumstances that everybody else is allowing them to weigh them down.
You know, that is so true. That is brilliant, the way you put that. Now, during the Depression, we know that there were more millionaires created than ever before in our history, and it happened during the Depression. So that means that those people who became millionaires didn't believe in the conditions but saw the opportunities of which they could build on. Is that what you're saying?
It is. You see that I believe that we all have genius. I really do. In our own way, we all have a genius. And by that, I don't mean like a remarkably high intelligence or something like that. But just this ability, we all have an ability to be creative. And you know, the definition of creative, I think, or creating, in my mind, is the ability to make connections, the ability to see possibilities, the ability to be inspired. And we all have that ability. And it's just what you said, Jules, opportunities always exist. And in the time of the Depression, more millionaires, you say, were created than ever before. They were obviously people that in those circumstances, while everyone else just saw doom and gloom and lack, they had their minds open to opportunity, which is always there. Opportunity is always there. There are always connections that are there waiting to be made. And so if we focus ourselves in positioning ourselves in our genius, in this ability to be always inspired, no matter our circumstances and the pervading conditions, if we can have the ability to set ourselves up in the condition of being inspired and being able to see possibilities and make connections, we will always be able to do that. We will always defy our circumstances. We will always defy the existing conditions, because at the end of the day, those conditions and those circumstances are just a perception, and they've been created by us buying into a perception and going along with that perception, and that perception unfolding then as a reality. And you know, parallel to that is another universe, is a whole other universe of possibilities, of connections, of inspiration that we can just easily tap into and move forward with. And so it just really comes down to what do we want to involve ourselves in? Do we want to involve ourselves in the mass psychology of doom and gloom and negativity? Or as opposed to that, I'm not suggesting a wonderful rosy picture of denial or something, but of possibility, of potential, and make a stand for our possibility, our potential, our ability to be inventive, to see possibilities, to make connections that otherwise we can't see, and be aligned with that side of our nature. And depending on which side of our nature we align ourselves with is what we're going to create. And more importantly, I'm not talking about this from a selfish attitude. People who are positive and people who are creative and, you know, move forwards and upwards will also support everyone else around them, will support the community and the society that they're involved in,
right,
in moving upwards and forwards. So,
right,
you know, it's a really important consideration. It's important for us to realize that we have choice. I know that in the Bible it says that man, unlike all the other animals, man has choice. And you know, Jules, I've often thought about, what do they mean by choice? What choice are they talking about? And after all that I've thought and considered and studied and become aware of, is I'm led to believe that there's only one thing they can be talking about, and that is our choice of what side of ourselves we want to be aligned with, whether we want to align ourselves limitation or whether we want to align ourselves with possibility, that is our choice.
Right.
It's a choice of mentality.
So let's talk about mentality and put it to your golf swing, because you always say, especially in your books, and I always tell my clients about this golf swing, is that you're supposed
swing circle.
Yeah, is that you're supposed to be focusing on the ball that you're about to hit, not on the way that you're hitting the ball, correct?
Well, actually, it goes further than that. You see, it's an analogy that I used in one of my books, in The Magician's Way.
Right.
Was this golfing analogy, and actually they made a brilliant movie using the same analogy called The Legend of Bagger Vance,
yes.
And I recommend anyone see that, because it's actually all in this movie. And you see, it's about being end result focused and end result orientated. And the power of being end result focused and being end result orientated. And in golf is the most process orientated game in the world. So in other words, that what golf is about hitting a ball from one place to another, where there's a hole, there's a flag with a hole. And the objective of the game is to hit the ball towards that hole and sink it in that hole. But you see, the whole thing about it is that what golfers have developed is a myth that what it's about is how you hit the ball, not where you're hitting it, but how you hit it, about how you stand, how you hold the club, how you bend your knees, how you keep your head down. If you don't play golf, go and have a golf lesson, and you will be absolutely bamboozled at everything that the golf professional tells you that you've got to bring together in order to hit a ball.
That means basically that you are trying to control the situation, right?
Exactly. So that if you hold everything together and stand right and hold things right and look things right, you will control the situation. And that will translate into the perfect shot. And thanks for pointing that out. That's exactly what that means, this whole process orientation. But when you get a bit of an enlightened view of the game, you begin to learn and realize that actually it's not about how you hit the ball and how you stand and all that. It's about what you want the ball to do, where you want the ball. More aware of that and more focused on that, and that end result and that focus will then naturally pull your body together and coordinate you naturally and naturally facilitate a good swing and a good hit of the ball. And so it's not about the control of and the process of hitting the ball. It's about the end result. And so this is the whole thing is about us, and this is what us, this relates to what we're talking about earlier, is for all of us, we believe that if we know how the world is working and how the conditions are in the world and what's going on, and that we understand the financial situation and the labor situation, and we've got the world all understood, that then somehow that is going to enable us to actually function in a way that's going to get us through life and help us cope most successfully in life. But it's not. It's actually going to tense us up and limit us and limit our perceptions and our actions and all that. And really, what we need to be more focused on is the end result of what it is that matters to us, what it is that we care about, that's important to us, that we would love to express in life and that we would love to create and be more focused on that. And then magically things get pulled together to facilitate that. And we see the way, we find the way, we make the connections, we see the possibilities and the synchronicities and the synergies come into place. We make the happy coincidences. We bump into the right people at the right time, or the people that that open our thinking for us, give us new insight, whatever it is, whatever needs to facilitate those goals, then gets facilitated. Whereas while we try to work everything out and understand everything, all we're doing is engaging the finite possibilities that we are focusing ourselves on. And also, at the same time, we're actually dredging up our limited belief systems. We're pulling those up and subjecting ourselves to that. So we're just really creating very limited conditions for ourselves.
That is so brilliant. I love it. I love it. This is exactly what I wanted the listeners to grasp. So take us through the swing and take us through, just like what we were talking about and the doom and gloom, what is it that what should be that ball and where we want it to go? What should we be looking at instead of hearing all of this doom and gloom?
Well, you know, Jules, can I just start somewhere else, really, to answer your question?
Sure.
Is that I think, you see, I've been traveling the world now and I've been talking and really crystallizing my thinking on this. And I really believe that the place that we have to start in talking about this and looking at this is just really understanding something, and that is this, is the failure of education in the last hundreds of years in our society. And what I mean by the failure of education, I'm not pointing fingers at teachers or university professors or anything like that, but this is what I mean by it, is that we use the word education, and it derives from a Latin word meaning, from a Latin word educare, which means to draw out of and bring forth. And so that word implies that there's something within us, an innate intelligence, a knowing, a wisdom that's within us that is meant to be brought out of us, meant to be brought forth, we're meant to be put in contact with that power and that force. And that is more than anything, principally, what is supposed to help us get through life in the most successful way. But now, the thing about it is, and I don't have a single member of my audiences anywhere I talk in the world. In fact, if I have an educationalist in the audience, they will agree with me more than anyone that by the definition of the term educare, we have not had an education. We've had the opposite of being brought out of us, of our inner wisdom and knowledge and knowing being drawn out of us and given an understanding that we have this force and this power of knowing and connection to rely on. And instead, we actually really taught that there is a way to be in life and we don't know the way. And you know, here is the way and here's the formula. And so really, rather than being drawn out of us, we just have facts and figures rammed down our throat. And we are brought up in a way, we grow up in a way and brought up in a way that we are conditioned. It's a societal phenomenon. We're conditioned to believe that we don't have it in us, that it's not in us to find the solutions to create our way forward in life. And so, you see, the thing is that everybody, as a result, is waiting and looking and learning and trying to absorb from outside of themselves what's the way, what's the formula, how do you do this thing? And they're waiting for the government, and they're waiting for the economy, and they're waiting for the conditions to be right, and they're waiting for someone else who's got a job to give them a job. They're waiting to be empowered by someone else. There's like an almost like an entitlement mentality where it's like, well, I don't have it. Either the corporate world must give me it, that there must be conditions in which I become employable, or the government must bail me out, or give me an education, or create these conditions. I'm waiting for everybody, and I'm either happy that it seems to be going the right way or complaining that it's going the wrong way, but it's not in me. And so really, you know, the fundamental thing that we have to grasp and get into our heads and just appreciate and get our around is that this is so, that the way we are, connecting with life and approaching life is from the standpoint that it's not in us. And this is the most fundamental thing to address. And that when we do, then everything changes. We won't have conversations about the economy and about the government and the foreign exchange market. We will be like any of these people in these third world countries where they're appalling conditions, and yet they are thriving. They own beautiful hotels, or they're making movies, or they, you know, thriving as authors or as business people, functional government officials or something.
Or they're creating their own businesses to provide for them and their families.
And their society as well. But my point is that really is what remains for us, is to start off by recognizing that it's in us and it's up to us. And it's not only up to us, but it's in us. And if we assume that attitude and adopt that attitude and that focus, then it will become so. If we are through our thinking and our actions and our attitudes telling our subconscious that it's not in us, we are going to have an experience of it. Life is going to look like that to us and happen to us like that. And on the other hand, where we tell ourselves we have the power, we have the knowing, we have the power within us, and then we're going to start experiencing it that way. Then we're going to start seeing things in terms of that worldview. And so it's the first thing that we've got to do, I believe, is come to this understanding or working assumption anyway.
Right. You know, that is so true, because education, if you really look at it today, what they want every child to do is to conform, not to explore. And so they really, if a child is doing something other than what they're being told, then they need to be sent to the principal's office. So maybe it's time that parents really start allowing the kids not to conform, or letting them know of the magic within them.
Well, that's right. I mean, and it's not just you saying that, by the way, Jules. What you have just said is, in any of my talks in London or in Sydney or Melbourne or wherever I'm giving talks, there will be an educationalist in the room. And they will stand up and say exactly what you said. What it's about is about teaching people to conform. Exactly. I hear those words all over the world from educationalists who are unhappy with the education system and saying that's the problem with the educational system. It teaches people to conform rather than to create, you see. And so I don't know what the solution is broadly. I'm not here to overturn the education system.
Right.
But what I am here to do for whoever's there listening and who is interested, and anyone that I can reach and empower, is what I am going to support them in realizing is that it is in them, that the power is in them, that the power to decide and choose and have life be the way they would love it to be. I mean, you can feel so insignificant and small in the force of news stories night and global economies and things on a global scale and global political situations and war, and you go, well, what can I do? Yet when you act as if you have the power and that the ability for you to have what you want in your life, you know, maybe not save the whole world, but in the scope of your life, that you have the power to live an empowered life and a great life and an abundant life, and one that expresses your heart, what matters to you, and your genius and your creative expression, well, then you do, and you actually can make an incredible difference in the scope of your life, but also then how it affects those around you.
You're listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network, enhancing the well-being of millions of listeners worldwide. LOARadionetwork.com is heard through 25 different internet radio stations, as well as iTunes Radio, Stitcher.com, and our mobile apps. The Law of Attraction Radio Network, your trusted source of daily inspiration at LOARadionetwork.com.
This is G.P. Walsh, meditation expert and host of Law of Attraction 2.0, right here on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. I've tried numerous brainwave technology products, and none of them worked on me. That is, until I tried the Soundscape Meditations from Codimensions.com. The effect was immediate, and my meditation deepened. Get the Soundscape Meditations from Codimensions.com and put them on your iPod. Believe me, if they work on me, they'll work on anyone.
This is such an important show tonight, and I'm so glad that you were able to come on and share all of this with us, because I truly believe that there's only one thing in the world that we can really control, and that's our thoughts. We have the ability to think for ourselves, not to be told what to think. And so basically that in everything that we were talking about today is, how do you want to think?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what's exactly. So powerful.
That's what we have the choice over, I believe, is what is the orientation of our thoughts. Is it going to be in line with that we're victims, or is it going to be in line with the fact that we're powerful creators? And, you know, it's all I see in myself is I have an instant feedback mechanism, is that when I start thinking that I'm a victim, I start experiencing the reality of being a victim. And when I start thinking that I'm powerful and empowered and that I'm a powerful creator, I instantly begin seeing that reality taking shape in my life. So it's just up to us.
Oh, that's great. Oh, this is wonderful. I am so happy we're able to talk about this today, and you're absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much. Now, you have a workshop coming up again in October, but you're going all over the world again. And can you talk to us about that?
Well, sadly, I don't have anything happening in the U.S. for the rest of the year, Jules. I've got a workshop in London at the beginning of a month, and then a bunch of workshops in Australia later in October. Then I'm going over to South Africa for workshops in November, then going back to Australia for more workshops in Australia in November and even into December. It's really funny, you know, that I've moved to America and I live in Santa Monica and my family's based here and I'm based here, but that since I've moved to America from Australia, my work has exploded all over the world, and I hardly have time to do any work in America, so I'll have to make a concerted effort to actually sit down and, you know, get something structured and happening here, which is where I intended to move.
in beautiful Santa Monica, yes.
But you see, the thing is, Jules, it really goes to this thing that we're talking about, is that I did want to expand my work globally, and as a consequence, that was my end result. I was doing very well in Australia, and I'm very well known in Australia, and my name's widely recognized there. And I wanted to translate that success globally. And I just really got a very strong sense and conviction to move to America. It wasn't backed by any logic or anything like that. There was no rational there was no rational connection to anything that I was feeling and sensing that I should do. And my wife was getting it as well. And we really weren't We really weren't happy at the idea of dislocating ourselves from our wonderful lives in Australia and our social situation there and our kids in school and all of that. But we really felt very strongly that we needed to move to LA specifically, which we did. And then, I won't bore you with all the details, but as a consequence of moving here, then this work exploded for me all over the world that I could never have foreseen and anticipated. And, you know, people can say what they like and express all the doom and gloom that they like and all the limitation they like, but it just is evidence to me that when we assume that we have the power and that we're the creative force in our life, and that things that we are going to somehow create things working out for ourselves in the highest way and in the best possible way, that things are going to work out for us, then that happens. And so that's very evident for me in deciding for something much bigger, to create something much more expansive and much bigger in my life. And trusting that's going to unfold and getting the sense and the message to come to LA and then just following through on that, and this whole worldwide explosion of business and work and opportunity. And I won't even bore you with everything that's happening for me as a consequence and just how much is happening and how much it's benefiting me and how great it is. And, you know, so here I'm experiencing this massive expansion in my life by just concerning myself, focusing myself not on the global economy, not on the current global currency situation and global political situation and whatever, but just focusing on my life and what I can do to make my life better and you know, have a positive assumption about my life going forwards and upwards. And by doing that and then just following through on what becomes obvious to me, so it does. So I have this experience of this massive expansion in my life that is in contradiction to the general trend that I find around the world, where everyone's anticipating a slowdown and a meltdown and a minimization and a limitation, and everyone's generally experiencing that. But there are people like myself, it's not just me, also there are other people who have the same attitude as me, and they are also, you know, their lives are exploding exponentially for the good. Exactly. And I suppose it's these people that are the people that then become these millionaires in depressions, mm-hmm. you know, because that potential is always there for us, always.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh, that just makes so much sense. Thank you for coming on and sharing with us. Where can people find out about your workshops? I know we have a lot of friends listening in Africa, in London, in Australia. Where can they find you and your workshop?
Well, thanks for making that available, Jules. WilliamWhiteCloud.com. If anyone's interested, please go to the website, my website, WilliamWhiteCloud.com. And there's a lot more information, resources relating to the subject that we're talking about now, and then also information on upcoming events, etc., Jules.
Great. Yeah, it is a great website. I love it. Well, thank you, William. Be safe in your travels, and when you get back, let's chat again, my friend.
Thanks, Jules. Thanks for having me. Always great talking to you. Always a very uplifting conversation with your good self. Thank you for being you and having this positive forum available for everyone to tune into.
And that is where we're going to leave tonight, after a wonderful conversation with William Whitecloud. I just want to remind all the listeners all over the world, thank you. And remember, you can choose the thoughts that you wish to think. Don't be worried about the future. The future is yours. You can create something magnificent. No matter what is going on around the world, it's about you and it's about your creative powers. Thank you, and we'll see you back here next week with another great show of Law of Attraction Talk Radio. All my love. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another great show from Law of Attraction Talk Radio. If you'd like to comment on tonight's show, send an email to Jules@LOARadionetwork.com, and have a great week.